No person has ever seen God. No person has ever seen the glorious face of God. But can you believe that when God reveals himself and his plan, his will for you, makes it very clear, and it's not vague. God is God of order. He is systematic. As opposed to chaos and confusion. So when you are praying for the will of God and you feel like it's not very clear yet for you, don't just say, this is God's will. No, because when God speaks, it makes it very clear to you. Enable you to understand what you are supposed to follow. Therefore, the Lord wants you to know exactly what he wants you to know, what he wants us to know about him and about his plan. Would you testify confidently if the Lord had revealed himself to you? Or have you ever had an encounter with God in which he revealed himself to you very personally in a very practical way? Can you think of that occasion? What was the occasion? Can you think of that incident, if there's incident happened? Circumstances when you first encountered the Lord. Can you think of that encounter of the Lord? Personal encounter of the Lord. Well, it may have similarity to others, to some experiences that you may have heard, but there are no exact incidents in which the Lord revealed himself in the same place or time. Many people say, I met the Lord when I attended evangelistic meeting, something like that. When this evangelist was speaking, he spoke to me. And other people would say they had the same experience in that, the same event, but I cannot find anybody who would say the same thing, the same experience. Some people say they experience, but when the Lord speaks, he speaks to us very personally and very uniquely. When God calls someone, he reveals himself in a practical way and clearly and uniquely for you to understand what he wants you to do. God reveals himself to Jacob in a dream. Dream was a common way God revealed himself in the Old Testament, but in a very unique way to its individual. Even Joseph, the husband of Mary, the Lord revealed his will to him. God revealed himself to Moses through burning bush. And if you look at the Bible, if you read through the Bible, when God revealed himself, people who came to know or heard the Lord spoke to them, they experienced very unique for them only. The Lord revealed himself when Jesus was born as human flesh. And the Lord revealed himself to Apostle Paul in a very dramatic way. And that is what we are going to learn from this morning. Let's read the revelation of the Lord to Apostle Paul in verse 6 to 9. Let's read again. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companion saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. Well, formerly, Apostle Paul was called Saul, and Saul was the Hebrew name of Apostle Paul. The Lord revealed himself to Paul as a bright light. And that bright light was so bright that he was blinded. And Apostle Paul testified that his companions saw the light. And yet it was only Apostle Paul who was blinded, because perhaps he was the only one who stared. Look at the light. I don't know, but his companions heard the voice that Apostle Paul heard, but they did not understand what they heard. Why? Many times we come together as a church and we hear the same message, but we do not understand the same message as one understands, the other understands differently. This is why some would accept it, others would oppose it. The Lord revealed himself and gave his instruction to Apostle Paul, but not to his companions, because it was only Apostle Paul that the Lord wanted to obey at that instruction that he gave. The Lord let Apostle Paul's companion saw the light, but so that they may testify that what Paul had experienced, that Apostle Paul experienced encounter of the Lord was authentic. That it actually happened, so that when Apostle Paul would testify about his encounter with the Lord in a bright light, through a bright light, then they would say, yeah, we heard that bright, we saw that bright light. We heard the voice, but we didn't understand. They may tell exactly what happened. So when Paul saw the bright light, why did he address the voice as Lord? Apostle Paul said, Lord, who are you? Who are you, Lord? He immediately humbled himself down and responded to the voice as Lord. Listen, when the Lord decides to reveal himself to anyone, he would also prepare the heart and the mind of the person he had chosen to acknowledge his lordship. So when you heard the good news and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it was by God's grace you were saved through faith. It was the Lord's work in your heart so that you have acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior. So when the Lord decides to reveal himself to anyone, he would also prepare the heart and mind of the person that he has chosen to acknowledge his lordship, his sovereignty. So when a believer decides to follow the Lord, when you decide to follow the Lord, it was the Lord's work in your heart. It's God's grace at work in your heart through the sanctification, purification, enabling of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Christ prepares our heart, and we believe him by faith. In the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah illustrates those who say, they believe, we obey. But not necessarily, they did not necessarily believe God. They actually say, we believe God. We will obey God. They promised to obey God, but they did not. We can find that story in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 1 to 6. Let's read through this and meditatively let's learn from these experiences of the Israelites. Then all the army officers, including Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest, approached Jeremiah the prophet and said to him, please hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you know, see, though we were once many, now only a few are left. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. I have heard you, replied Jeremiah the prophet. I will certainly pray to the Lord your God as you have requested. I will tell you everything, the Lord says, and will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Whether it's favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it will go well with us. For we will obey the Lord our God. Now, the context of this was, the Babylonian conquered Jerusalem and brought all the people to Babylonia. But he left behind the poor and not so bright people, and put a governor named Gedaliah. But Gedaliah was assassinated. And now, these remnants who traveled with Jeremiah, they escaped because they were afraid that the Babylonians will come and destroy them totally, because they killed the governor that the Babylonians had assigned to govern Jerusalem and to take care of the vineyards. So when they were escaping, and they told Jeremiah about this, pray, let the Lord speak to us through you. And that was their the promise, that they will obey the Lord. They themselves said it, told Jeremiah, whatever the Lord says, unpleasant or pleasant, we will obey the Lord. That was their heart desire. So Jeremiah prayed, and the Lord gave him his answer. Well, these remnants were actually escaping, going to Egypt. But the Lord said, do not go to Egypt. Stay here in Jerusalem, and I will bless you. And yet, this was what they responded when Jeremiah told the people in Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 4, it says, when Jeremiah had finished telling the people all the words of the Lord their God, everything that the Lord had sent him to tell them, Sariah son of Hoshiah and Johanan son of Kariah and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, you are lying. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you must not go to Egypt to settle there. But Baruch son of Neriah is inciting you against us to hand us over to the Babylonians, so they may kill us and carry us into exile to Babylon. So Johanan, son of Kariah, and all the army officers and all the people disobeyed the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. The people said they will obey whether it's favorable or unfavorable, yet they have no faith to obey. And many among us, this dilemma of Jeremiah is still experiencing this generation. People would say, I believe in the Lord, I obeyed the Lord. But in actuality, they just want to have some kind of good image before people. And yet before God, they are not. Humans react according to the inclination of the heart. Our heart, our human heart, is sinful. So our human nature is to resist whatever the Lord tells us to do. So when we hear a message that the Lord would like us to hear, and our first reaction is something like, no, that is not what the Lord wants me to do, pray immediately. It could be that your human nature is actually the one prevailing in your heart. Favorable or seemingly unfavorable, when God is at work, believers would abide accordingly. we can readily, easily prove that we are believers of God when we have that willingness to obey the Lord, especially when tough instructions are given to us. Obedience to God indicates that the grace of God is at work in our life. So check your heart. Am I obeying the Lord? Do not deceive yourself. Disobedience to God indicates that God's grace may not be heard. God's grace might have been ignored. Non-believers, they are called non-believers because they ignore and they obey the Lord's instruction. We are called believers when we obey the Lord. So pray, if there's struggle in obeying the Lord's instruction, pray. Lord, you know of my heart. There's this resistance in me. I cannot easily obey you. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith. Nobody can say that I have matured in my faith until you know that. Even Apostle Paul preached to us to work on our salvation. He doesn't say that we need to save ourselves. It's not. And to encourage us to know if we are really strong in our faith, if we are really saved or not. That is how we should do. We need to know if we really are saved. We just don't say, I am saved. Once saved, always saved. And many are deceived because of that statement. You can only claim that when you have that perseverance. But if you cannot persevere just yet, don't just use that statement just to prove to others that you are saved. No. And the one who is saved and always saved, he would never claim that. Because it doesn't matter if you would say it. The best thing is, are you really saved? Pray for increase of faith when it's tough, when it's hard to obey the instruction of God. Pray that you would hear the Lord's instruction very clearly and very accurately. So when there's doubt, pray for increase of faith. When it's not very clear, ask the Lord, Lord, I can't hear you very clearly. I don't understand very clearly. Please speak in my language. And the Lord is willing. He would speak in your language. Let's read again verse 10 and 11. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to. My companions led me by hands into Damascus because the brilliance of light had blinded me. Now, previously, before Apostle Paul surrendered his life to the Lord, he persecuted the Christians because he assumed that he was serving God. Because he thought that the way the name of the church in the first century was the way. The church of the way was just a cult, just making confusion among the Judaism. He did not have any idea that the church he persecuted was the body of Christ, the church. That is why the Lord asked Paul, why do you persecute me? That's tough to imagine, because many people, even those who attend the church, say that they are Christian and yet they persecute the church, the body of Christ. They persecute Christ. When Paul asked the Lord of what he shall do, it manifested his willing submission to the Lordship of Christ. What do you want me to do, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? He was listening, open ears. And that is how we should respond to the Lord. When we pray, most of the time we pray, Lord, bless me. Listen carefully. The blessing of the Lord comes when we obey. Blessed are those who obey the instruction of the Lord. It did not say, the Lord bless those who pray and do nothing about the instruction of the Lord. The Bible did not say that. The instruction of the Lord is where the blessing of the Lord that he wants us to have. But if it is tough for us to obey the Lord's instruction, again, pray for increase of faith. Pray for increase of faith. The Lord gave Apostle Paul initial instruction. The Lord did not reveal all his plan at one time. He did not say, oh, this is what I want you to do. You go through many places and preach the gospel and I will be with you till the end. No, he did not say that. Initially, when we haven't obeyed the Lord yet, even when we start obeying the Lord will give us only one instruction at a time. Unless you would go and obey that first instruction, the next instruction he would not give. Because the next instruction is tougher than the first instruction. When he said, go to Damascus. Why should I go to Damascus? I was there. I was going there when I was blinded. That should have been the reaction of Apostle Paul, and yet he was willing to obey the Lord. And since Apostle Paul was blinded, his companions helped him. And that was also practical proof that when Apostle Paul, that he was blinded by the bright light, his companions would say, yeah, he was blinded. He didn't know where to go because he was blinded, and we helped him. And they can easily testify and prove that what Apostle Paul testified is really true, had happened, it really happened. And listen to this. When the Lord gives instruction, he will not leave the obedient believer alone to wonder, what will I do? The Lord gives someone to guide and help us along the way. And the Lord would reward those who help his messengers. Did you hear that? The Lord will bless those who would bless you when you obey. But the Lord would punish those who won't listen to his messengers. Can you accept that? It's biblical truth. When we bless the messenger of God, the Lord bless us more so that we can continue to bless others. Blessing that we can never dream or imagine. Jeremiah was called the prophet, weeping prophet, because most of his life he was crying. He cried. Why did Jeremiah cry? He cried a lot because those who heard the message of God through him did not want to obey the instruction of God. The Lord showed Jeremiah what would happen. Like when he told Jeremiah that the Babylonians will bring the Israelites into exile. He saw that very clearly. He knew that very clearly because he heard very clearly from the Lord. And the people say, oh, you are just an envoy from Babylonia. You are an ambassador of Babylonians. That was why you encouraged us to surrender to the Babylonian. They did not believe Jeremiah. He said, if you submit to the Babylonians, you will live. Why should we submit to the Babylonians? That's very tough, of course, for the Israelites. But when Jeremiah prophesied that Jerusalem will fall into the hands of the Babylonians, some of the officials in Jerusalem wanted to kill Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 7 to 13, let's read what happened. But Ebed-Melech, a Cushite, an official in the royal palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into a cistern while the king was sitting in Benjamin's gate. Ebed-Melech went out of the palace and said to him, "My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. They have thrown him into a cistern where he will starve to death when there is no longer any bread in the city." And the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Cushite, "Take 30 men from here with you," and left Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room under the treasury in the palace, took some old rags and worn out clothes from there and led them down with ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech the Cushite said to Jeremiah, "Put these old rags and worn out clothes under your arms to pad the ropes." Jeremiah did so. They pulled him up with the ropes and lifted out of the cistern. And Jeremiah remained in the courtyard of the guard. Now imagine this. The cistern is kind of like a pit hole excavation where they would collect water, rain water. So they can use that water for taking bath or for drinking or ever, or for giving water to their animals or water their plants. That is the cistern. But at that time, that cistern was not full of water, but of course, when a cistern, a pit hole, collects water, the water comes with the mud, right? So that cistern was full of mud. So Jeremiah was there sinking in the deep mud. That was why he just cannot hold on to the rope if they would pull him, because there's mud all over his body. That was why he needed that old rags as padding in his body for the people to pull him out. And Ebed-Melech was a Cushite. He was not originally an Israelite. He was not Jewish person. A Cushite is, in this present day, present generation, is the country of Ethiopia, Cush. So the Cushite was Ethiopian. He could have been a slave who was just promoted to become official in the royal palace. Maybe he had many talents. That was why he was able to reach that position of being a royal in the palace. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 15 to 18, after Jeremiah was pulled out of that cistern, while Jeremiah had been confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go and tell Ebed-Melech the Cushites, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I'm about to fulfill my words against this city. Words concerning disaster, not prosperity. At that time, they will be fulfilled before your eyes. But I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be given into the hands of those you fear. I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life because you trust in me, declares the Lord." And that you was Ebed-Melech. And the Lord specifically told Jeremiah, "Go to Ebed-Melech, the person who helped you, the person who keep you safe, and not the official who persecuted him. The official who persecuted Jeremiah, day they die when the Babylonian conquered Jerusalem. The Lord did not allow Jeremiah to be killed. Even now, when we hear advisory from the government that churches should not gather more than 25% of the room capacity, I believe that this room, if it is full of chair, it can accommodate at least 500. So if we are 125, then we are just within the 25% that the government allow to gather. Think about this. Are you scared of the pandemic? Search your hearts. You do not need to say, I am not, or I am. Just search your hearts if you are scared. Trust that the Lord would not allow you, even there is war, pandemic, terrorist, whatever problem that we fear about our life, if God's will is not yet accomplished through you, you will keep on. The life of Jeremiah was a very good example for us. The Lord saved him from many situations. People wanted to kill him. Officials wanted to kill him, but he did not die. He kept on living until the will of God was accomplished in his life. And that is also what happened to Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech, who helped Jeremiah, the messenger of God. The Lord did not allow Jeremiah to be killed, but sent an official to help him in the name of Ebed-Melech. God did not forget Ebed-Melech, who helped Jeremiah when his message to Jeremiah came to pass. And those who did not believe, those who persecuted Jeremiah, fall into the wrath of God. They were the ones who, even when they resisted the will of God, that Babylonians would conquer Jerusalem, happened actually before their eyes. Listen, when God instructs us, tells us what to do, he will make it very clear to each one of us, very personally and very uniquely. And he will surely provide all necessary things and helps we need to accomplish his plan for us. When God commands us, he won't leave us to do things on our own. He didn't say, go do this, and I will ask you if you have accomplished it very accurately later. No, he would go with us. He is with us. For example, when God commands us to give, did you hear that? The Lord commands us to give. He will give us something to give. Lord, I have nothing to give. Wait, he will give you, and you will give. God commands us to teach. When God commands us to teach, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to teach. No, that is not what he was saying. You are going to teach. He will enable us, equip us to be effective teachers. Our part is our willingness to obey. Lord, whatever you say, I will obey. But you know, I'm shaken. I have shaky faith. So strengthen my faith, Lord. That should be our prayer. When God calls us, when God says, go back to the Philippines, share the good news to your relatives, to your friends, to your classmates, have your class reunion, attend that class reunion. You might remember, you might meet that person I'm prepared for you to share the gospel with. He did not say, you tell to everyone. He had already prepared somebody else who would listen. Among those who heard the preaching of Jeremiah, only Ebed-Melech, with the 1,000 people of Jerusalem, only Ebed-Melech was the one who heard it very clearly. They heard it clearly, but didn't obey. God gives each believer a particular command. The command for me is different from you. The command for your father is different from your mother. The command for you is different from your friend. He will give us a command according to our faith to test us if we obey or disobey. That is why he gives us instruction. Believers, trust and obey. Non-believers don't trust the Lord. They disobey and ignore the Lord. Our question this morning, what is the command that God has given you lately? What is your testimony to practically prove that you have genuine faith in the Lord, in your obedience, that is your testimony? So pray for increase of faith when God's instruction is heard.